Okay, dudes and dudettes, you are listening to Gallifrey Public Radio. I'm Noel Clark. Don't you ever, ever, ever touch that dial.
I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
You've dialed into Gallifrey Public Radio. We're a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us for weekly discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and well beyond. Your hosts are Jay Witten.
I choose Death by Scotland.
Keir Hansen.
Arun, Arun, Arun.
And Haley Malley.
Darth Vader, he's a villain, right?
We travel through classic and new Who, explore the extended Whovian universe, and play a few games from time to time if we're left unsupervised. Oh, and a word on spoilers, we do discuss recent news, content that has been officially released, and the occasional interesting rumor, but don't worry. If we look too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning. Welcome to episode 334 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where if we've learned the mind of the average consumer at all, the best way to move merch is to appeal to their fandom and their freakiness at the same time. I'm Keir.
And I'm Jay. And this week we're returning to one of our favorite, but potentially strangest, games to play during seasonal downtimes. We don't have a concise or snappy name for it, but let's just say that if we had a marketing team that was equal parts Whovian fanatic and socially disturbed individual, they'd come up with the perfect title. Haley's on assignment this week, but joining us for this odd little journey is past guest of GPR and the doctor to Keir's rather cloying companionship, Julie. How's it going, Julie?
It's good. How are you?
Good.
So, Jay, we haven't played this since 2016? I think early 2016.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
Yeah, just a small stretch, but we remember painfully how it works. But let's just make sure that we've got the basics of the rounds of play on this, because this all has to do with products or items actually really honestly truly available for retail purchase that you can buy with your dollars that have some Whovian theme but are not exactly conventional.
Exactly. So we're all used to the sonic screwdriver shaped everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. If you can put a label on it and sell it to Whovians, they're going to try. So we're going to go through and try and figure out which of these are the actual products and which ones are the horrid machinations of my depraved mind.
Okay.
I just don't know if I want to live there.
You're not even sure you want to visit. It's one of those things. If you got it, like a pit stop to get peanuts or something, and just get back on the highway. But so in each round, the Julie and I are going to be listening to your list. How many options? How many choices do we have in each one?
So basically, two truths and a lie here.
Okay.
So each round is going to contain two actual Doctor Who products that you can or could at some point purchase.
And by but no means should. Well, I guess.
Finger to nose.
And so what it's going to be is it's going to be your job to pick which one is not the fake object.
Yes. All right. Got it. How do we, let's see, what's one of the best ways that we could... So is it something where you want us to buzz in, or do you want to just keep alternating back and forth on the rounds and give one to either one of us, like we've been doing with some of the most recent games?
Yeah, we'll alternate, give somebody the chance to go first. You guys can absolutely, obviously, you're trying to pick the fake one, so picking the same object is perfectly fine.
Okay.
But I'll go ahead and flip a coin. Keir, call it in the air.
Tails.
All right, it's tails. So do you want to go first or second?
I will go second.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
It has proven valuable to Jay. He's way up on
know
on
your
Haley.
Judge. Yeah. Know your judge.
No. It's just by odds lately.
Yep. I plan to win this one. Wait. Dang it. All right. So for round one, we have three potentially real items here. And I've kind of stuck with themes for rounds here. So for the first one, we have the destroyed Lady Cassandra figure.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Or potentially when class was coming out, they're trying to get some excitement for that. We have a Ram Singh action figure complete with detachable leg.
Oh.
Or the final item here, the flesh from the Almost People complete with random doctor bits in it.
Oh, so it's like one of those little goo toys that kids buy, but it's got bits of the Almost People. I'm going to say I'm certain.
You said you were
going
to go second.
You were going second.
Oh, okay.
Are you cheating over here, Mister?
Oh, that's right. I did say second. So I guess it really doesn't matter who was first.
I mean, it doesn't really. Okay. Except you, I could
like
sway.
Like most of our games,
I could sway.
The rules mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this
where
is
where the points don't matter.
Exactly. We're totally going whose line on this.
Hopefully, I'm not taking it a step too far, but I'm going to go for number two, the detachable leg from class.
Detachable leg.
Okay.
Ramp. I'm going to agree with that one because I don't remember seeing any class merchandise out there at all.
All right. Well, you guys nailed it. As far as I could tell, there was no class merchandise at all.
That's a pity.
Yeah. That means they put Dr. Bits in skin goo.
Yeah.
Okay, so the disturbing thing here, the destroyed Lady Cassandra figure is an actual thing.
Oh, sure.
And I have pictures of this that I can share, which it's just the frame that she was in. That's all it is now. So the fun part about the flesh was that it came with an assortment of three random doctor bits in it. Either he had two legs, two arms, and a head. So even if you went and bought like a whole bunch of these things to try, you never could complete the doctor. It was always just, so
but
you never knew what three random
box.
Bits.
Oh, perfect. Man.
Yeah.
I like it.
Disturbing.
What's
all right.
the one collectible no one has?
All right. So you each get a point for that one.
Okay.
All right, so round two, moving on to some food-based stuff here. So the first item that we have is an oud canteen, shaped like the little oud balls, and then the straw goes up into your mouth, and you can have whatever tasty beverage you want in there.
I'd drink that.
I'd tap that.
Oh.
The second item is the Doctor Who yogurt tubes. Think Go-Gurt, okay?
Okay.
All right. And then the third is a USB-powered single soda can refrigerator, large enough to place one can of cola in it.
Huh.
So, Kier, you're first to guess this time.
Oh, all right. I'm pretty sure I've seen the single can USB cooler out there. I'm assuming that it's TARDIS shaped one. I will say that the Go-Gurt product is too simple. So I'm going to say that is the false item.
All right. Julie?
I am going to go with the oud canteen because I feel like I would have seen more of those at conventions and I have not.
All right. Well, Julie takes the lead. The oud canteen is not a real thing as far as I could tell in my searching. The petite philos froobs with fun names like Sonic Strawberry for some reason have pictures of Doctor Who characters on the box, and apparently that makes it a thing.
It's marketing.
Well, I realized the other day that I was walking past The Last Jedi energy drinks in the store, so
well,
you can put a label on it.
Game of Thrones Oreos. So
yes, Game of Thrones Oreos. Yeah.
So, but yeah, in coming up with this, clearly this oud canteen needs to be a thing. Like I've discovered how I'm going to make my millions.
Yes. Yes. So, especially if it glows.
Yes.
You gotta drink it before it turns red.
Or it's like those LED lights that changes colors as you drink when it's got liquid in it.
Oh, there you go.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like
yeah.
it. I like
okay.
it.
Cool.
It changes color depending on the temperature of the liquid you have.
Or your mood.
when you're spike drinking.
Turns red as you get to the bottom and you get mad.
Right.
I was going to mention at the top of this, so I tried to verify that my quote-unquote fake items were not actual things. And this was a lot harder than you would think, because I would come up with something and I'd be like, oh, totally, that's, yeah. TARDIS DVD organ. Nope, that's totally a thing. Wow.
Google be damned. Okay,
so, so either these items do not actually exist, or my Google foo is just not strong enough to find them.
Fair.
So
I'm sure people will call us out on at least a handful of them.
Well, the ones, absolutely. So PSA, the ones we like, if you find them, we'll buy them.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, yeah. If it doesn't exist, but we seem to be a little excited about it, you're in for at least two purchases.
Yeah.
All right. So for round three here, the first item that we have is Doctor Who underpants, complete with Tom Baker's goggle-eyed vacant stare right on your crotch. Or the silver 50th anniversary TARDIS bobblehead. Or if you're in a festive mood, the Wilfred Mott dual reindeer antlers.
Okay.
So, Julie, you're first this time.
I am going to go with the underpants because I just don't want to see that on anybody. And I'm hoping.
Don't want to live in a world where that
is. Can you imagine the last thing you see before you turn out the light? Come to bed.
Now I can't unimagine that.
Jay, can you give me the description on the second item again?
Yep, the silver 50th anniversary TARDIS bobblehead.
Silver. I don't think I've ever seen a silver TARDIS bobblehead. I know that you can get just about anything on a pair of underwear. And I've seen some really disturbing Whovian stuff on underwear. Thanks, like Zazzle, Redbubble. I'm gonna go with the second item.
All right. Okay, so apparently this round I get the point because neither one of you picked the Wilfred Mott dual reindeer antlers as the fake item.
Man.
Those things have to be
They have
somewhere.
To be a real thing. I mean, that was like off my list number one.
They were just basic reindeer antlers, weren't they?
No. Yeah, no, but not in a single thing.
Oh, like the officially sanctioned branded comes with a red knit hat.
Yeah.
And a Wilfred Mott. Can I have him too?
Yes.
It has to come with that. Otherwise, I'm not buying it. The silver, and I'm going off of exactly how it was described on Amazon, which where you can buy this, is the Doctor Who 50th anniversary TARDIS monitor mate. But on the packaging, it says TARDIS mini bobblehead.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so it's one of those ones that's just large enough you can clip it to the top of your flat screen. Yeah.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
Hopefully, if your screen doesn't shake that much.
Yeah, hopefully. Should you guys want to know exactly what your nightmares are going to include, I have a picture of the underpants.
Yeah. I've already haunting. Got a good.
We'll put them in the episode release notes. Sure.
Scarring people's memories. Forever.
No, I just want people when they go to our website. I just want their search history to get really weird, as weird as Jay's.
Yeah. No. So the dual antlers are not an actual thing, but in searching for them to make sure that they weren't, I did come across a t-shirt that has a picture of just the antlers headband and the caption that says, "I shan't, it's Christmas." I've already got a shirt on my way, on its
there
way.
There you go.
I couldn't not. Mm-hmm. It's too great.
How can you not?
All right. So round four, we have a Cyberman head Bluetooth speaker. Okay. A ceramic Dalek travel mug, or a TARDIS desk locker.
Desk
locker. Kira, you're going to be first on this one.
Desk locker.
So basically, you open the doors to the TARDIS, and you can put pins and stuff in there.
Oh, okay. Got it. A little school supply lockbox kind of thing.
Or a ceramic travel mug, or a Cyberman-shaped Bluetooth speaker.
I have yet to see a Cyberman Bluetooth speaker, so you could have handles singing love songs, nothing but love songs at you.
Yeah.
Just carry him around over your shoulder.
Yeah. that's your little parrot. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Okay. I'm going to go with that one just cause I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure I've seen some Dalek mugs out there. The pen locker doesn't sound like a terribly complicated item dice.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I think I'm going to go with the same one because I feel like I have seen the other two. So,
all right. You guys both nailed it.
Okay.
Cool. Yes.
I was just kind of surprised by the TARDIS desk tidy because I'm like, you know, having a cup to put pins in makes sense, but opening doors to set stuff in there and then this seems like the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Well, When you have a desk that's too big and you need to secure your nerdliness at work and secure your pens, pens walk away no matter where you
work. What kind of a locking mechanism is it? Is it a Yale key? Please let it be a Yale key. Or do you just snap your fingers
at it? As far as I can tell, it's not, it doesn't actually lock. It's just wooden doors that you.
Okay. I'd want to put a sound trigger on it then,
like the cookie box?
Yeah, like the cookie jar. That constantly vorps at you every time you open the lid, so somebody on the other side of the house knows you're swiping a cookie.
Oh, you're getting chocolate now? I'll have some.
Bring me one, while you're in there. All right, next round.
All right.
Oh, can we get a score update?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Julia's still in the lead with 3 points, and Keir trails with 2.
Okay,
close.
Yeah, so all right. So for round five, we're going to go with the TARDIS control console lava lamp, the psychic paper ID holder, or the sonic screwdriver.
You go first on this one.
I'm going to go with the sonic screwdriver.
Okay.
Because I feel like we've looked for those and we always go, why don't we have one that actually works?
Mm.
I want to actually screw in screws.
I
want to
actually have a screwdriver out of this.
I believe I've seen that.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm going to go with a psychic paper ID holder. I know I've seen the TARDIS console lava lamp.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've seen that. So
yeah, just recently, like within the last,
All right.
last All 2 years.
Okay, so Keir has tied it up.
Yes,
my original.
Why don't we own a screwdriver then?
Because I've seen it. They're flimsy. If I remember seeing them, they're like jeweler screwdrivers. They're pretty small.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like a really tiny screwdriver head on there. So
it probably it's probably a screwdriver of the right size to take apart to get the watch batteries out of your sonic screwdriver when it eventually dies.
It fixes the things that need to be fixed. else are you supposed to do? You can't bounce the beam off of anything. It's the only way. All right.
So in trying to come up with the fake one for that, like my original idea was a psychic paper notepad, but apparently those actually exist. So
yes.
Yeah. All right. So for this round, we're going to have like a very solid theme here. So we've got the, you guys remember the Straight Outta Compton fad that went on a while ago.
Yep.
These are all coffee mugs that bear either, and we've got 4 of them this time.
Okay. But only one. But only one is real.
No, only one is
only
fake.
One is fake.
Okay. Yeah. So three of them are real. Okay, got it.
So Straight Out of Caldor City coffee mug, Straight Out of New York coffee mug, Straight Out of Scarrow coffee mug, or Straight Out of Spaceport 5 Overcity coffee mug.
Okay.
Keir, you got the lead on this one?
I'm going to take the last one.
Straight Out of Spaceport 5 Overcity?
Correct.
Okay.
I don't want to feel like I'm just copying you, but that's what I was going to go for. For real.
Mm.
I knew that this one was going to get you guys.
Really?
Because as far as I could find, there is no Straight Out of Scarrow coffee mug.
What?
But the others exist.
I have seen it.
Have you?
Yes.
All right. I'll get you Pansky on the phone.
Maybe it was a small shop at the convention we were just at, but I saw it in the dealer's room.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't believe that it does exist, but I was looking at stuff that, you know, commercially available, not like Etsy,
right?
Things
fair.
Like that.
It's hard to avoid. Yeah. If you go to Etsy and you could probably find just about anything.
Yeah. And I've seen, I know I saw it, but all right.
Yeah.
And should anybody want the I have links or at least pictures to all of these things.
Mm.
So, all right. Now, so we're
still tied.
We're all tied up.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to go into a bonus round here, and I am not going to tell you how many of these items are actually real and how many are not.
Okay.
So
rigged.
so you guys can just take a shot at, you get one guess. No, actually, nah, we'll just stick with the thing. See if you can pick a fake item in this list.
Okay.
There is at least one. I will tell you that.
All right.
They're all
That's
real.
That's helpful.
I almost did that with that last one. I just threw in the Scarra one just for the...
They're all wrong.
Okay. So the first one is a Weeping Angel talking plush doll, a Weeping Angel cookie jar, a Weeping Angel peekaboo mask, or a Weeping Angel nightlight.
Okay. And we are to identify the fake one. Okay.
They could all be fake. Only one of them could be fake. Who knows?
Why in the world you would want a peekaboo mask? Weeping Angel. I'm going to go with number two.
The cookie jar?
Yeah.
So our options are nightlight,
peekaboo mask, cookie jar. Because I don't want to see... I know, I think I've seen the nightlight before.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to imagine the Weeping Angel's head coming back. Or maybe it's at the arms to open and take cookies out. I'm going to go with that one because I just hope it's not real.
Okay. All right.
And item one again was...
The Weeping Angel talking plush doll.
All right. I'm going to go with that one because I probably would have already owned it. I've seen the Dalek plushes. I've seen the canine plushes. I've seen...
The talking one?
Well, I think all the ones they made do have a little push button, like the canine that's upstairs yells,
what would they talk about? Would they just say,
be the voice of Angel Bob, and that's kind of boring. You know, it's not that iconic.
So maybe you're right.
Yeah, I'm going with the plushie.
Only time will tell.
Okay. All right. So I got you both on this one.
Wow.
The peekaboo mask I could not find, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, there is a Weeping Angel nightlight. There is a Weeping Angel cookie jar that actually looks more like an urn, which is why I originally clicked on it, because I was like, what the heck is this? But yes, there is a Weeping Angel talking plush doll.
What does it say?
What does it?
I don't know, but it is available on Amazon.
Grr, arg.
Listeners, if you have one, please let us know.
Yeah, send us recordings. I want to hear.
or video of it interacting with whatever small children and or pets you have.
Exactly, yeah.
Why do I have the feeling that Player 3 is going to end up with one of these things soon?
He might. He's not allowed to play with my canine, so maybe I'll get him a
Weeping Angel
one. I'll get him a Weeping Angel one. You know, it's cute.
Nice, yeah.
teach him to have no fear.
He's
walk
not
straight into danger.
He's not afraid of any of those things. We didn't know exactly how we were going to play this game out this time. I think last time we played it, everybody had a bunch of them prepared, and we kind of lobbed them around at each other. I'm kind of glad I didn't get to use some of the ones that I pulled together, because the things that I found that actually existed were really disturbing, like the Doctor Who casket. You can have a TARDIS casket made. It's one of a select number that this custom casket maker, casket maker, right? They don't have a special name for a casket.
For the person who wants to take it all with them.
Yeah, yeah. But it was listed online right next to the Smirnoff Ice casket that makes it look like you were buried in a giant frosty bottle of Smirnoff. So the guy has
no
taste.
The ultimate icing? Remember that trend from years ago?
Everything ice. There was also the BDSM TARDIS paddle.
Well, yeah, that's
so you could get a beating for all of time.
Yeah.
And what was the other one that I held on to? It was kind of, you know, I might still have it on my phone. Hold, please.
So you didn't search in incognito mode?
I didn't. There's the casket, by the way. Isn't that? That's pretty... pretty classic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice,
it's,
huh?
It's
nice
actually
airbrush
not
job.
Bad. Yeah.
And the there's your paddle.
Okay.
For the whooping of the. Oh yeah, there's that. And talk about underpants. There's your TARDIS G-string thong.
That's currently unavailable. However,
yeah, currently unavailable. That thing sold out like hotcakes.
Is that on Amazon?
Yes.
Oh well.
Yeah, Amazon has no class anymore. Used to be a nice reputable store.
So I went ahead and put all of the items in the show notes if you guys want to check it. And we'll put it in the show notes when we post the episode as well.
I am so sorry.
Or are we?
Browse at your own risk.
Exactly, yeah.
Just don't look at work.
Caveat emptor.
All right. So what do you say we jump into the news?
I say so, yeah. Okay. First item to share with everybody is really not so much necessarily Who news, but something that's kind of dear and important to us. Russell T. Davis gave a great he's been doing a number of interviews since the announcement of his upcoming series. That it's a very different endeavor for him, but he's at a point now, I believe, where he's more comfortable really doing a lot of reflective interviews on his time working Who and. Mm-hmm. Really an interesting and rather touching read for anybody who wants to find out a little bit more about the work he put into preparing for it, his mindset growing up as a fan and growing up, you know, wanting to come out from the age of 16 and all the things that sort of led to the way he approached the entertainment industry. It's just a really, really touching interview and very insightful. Particularly his mention, which he has not been particularly public about the loss of his partner, Andrew Smith, just within the last year, that it was a beautiful relationship between the two of them, and just something I think had a profound impact on where he is mentally and spiritually right now. So definitely worth it for anybody who...
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to kind of just be able to sharing the experience with him almost of like, you know, reliving the... how he felt getting the job in Doctor Who and that kind of thing. And, mm-hmm. and just, you know, learning a bit more about the person that, you know, is responsible for all of this, really.
Absolutely. So. And I know that when this interview started to make the rounds or sort of get segmented and used for, you know, various headlines and reposts through other news cycles, that they were fixating on the fact that he's made it really clear that he does not really want to return to do anything, you know, production-wise for the program. They had a tendency for a little while, for at least a couple of days, to be spun on clickbait articles saying that he refuses to return to Doctor Who and wants nothing to do with it, or just putting it in a very negative light, but it really isn't that case at all. It's a no. His analogy is just a matter of, you know, I had a task. It was a daunting one. You know, it was a Herculean effort to bring the show back that he cares so deeply about and continues to. He feels he accomplished that task, and doesn't want to. How did he refer to it? Something like, you know, if you can't go back to, you know, back to school and try and relive that experience or try to one up that experience because it's now part of your formative past and you just don't do that.
Yeah, he did his work and now it's time for others to carry that work forward. It's no longer his responsibility, but he did what he needed to do at the time, and that's what makes it special.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the next item that we've got on the list here is that Series 12 is still in production.
Yeah.
Yay.
So I know we have some UK viewers or listeners that are sort of scattered towards, out to the extremities of the island. So let's say if you're anywhere in the Gloucester area, you've probably seen that, especially around the Gloucestershire, the cathedrals, they have been posting the filming notices that they're going to be in production throughout this week. It's not the first time they've filmed in the cathedral. I think they used it for... Oh God, was it Unicorn and the Wasp maybe, or could have been the Shakespeare?
I know they use it in the Next Doctor.
Ah, okay, right. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Yes, so maybe we're looking at another period piece.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, be a lot of fun to take the space fam. to the Jacobean era. But yeah, so if you're anywhere near, you know, and you're planning on, you know, doing a little set stalking, let us know. Send us selfies. See him. Bradley Walsh took a selfie with anybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Extensively.
He just like walked over to Craft Services and started taking selfies with sandwiches. It was. but speaking of Bradley Walsh.
And speaking of on set.
And speaking of, no, I've got nothing.
file this one under obvious that Bradley has a. Well, you know, as they're getting into their second season working together and they know each other, I mean, they became thick as thieves from the first couple of weeks of production for the previous production block.
Yeah. They were, yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, you come up with nicknames for each other, you know, because they're, you know, your personas come through and
best
you get to be
friends.
Yeah. That guy over there, that's Daredevil Dan, or this person over here, that's Fast Eddie. That guy over there, Bradley Walsh.
That's Dad.
That's Dad. But I love the fact that it's not just the cast, it's the crew. Mm-hmm. You imagine like you're getting your hair and makeup done.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Have a seat, Dad. It's gonna be a long one today.
Yep. And he, Bradley Walsh, commented on it and saying that his three co-stars are all compete to be his favorite of the children.
Yes. Well, wouldn't you?
He'll never say, but yes, he always would.
Could you just picture, Deva, day of filming starts. They're all kind of, coming out of their trailers. They've got their coffee. Their runners are shuttling back and forth, giving them their sides and whatnot. And all three of them spot Bradley from a distance and all come running up on him to be the first one to give him a hug so they can see what sweeties he's got in his pocket. They just want one of Dad's sweeties. Lemon drops from Dad.
Apparently it's Jody that always says, which one's your favorite?
Yeah, so, of course.
Yeah, I could see her always wanting to know what the status check is.
Just poke the bear just a little. Yeah. Not too much, just enough.
All right, but that's all the news we've got for this week. Next week, we're going to be going back to our classic rewatch with the image of Fendahl.
Haley's, I don't know what Haley's going to make of this one.
We'll see how she handles, possessed skulls, giant pentagrams, rock salt. When did we start watching Supernatural?
With lots of gold paint. Everybody just douse yourself in gold paint. It's almost like Claws of Axos.
Anyway, this has been episode 334 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying I'm going to go with this FBI agent. Apparently, they found my search history for this game, so I've got to go.
And this is Kier saying I will talk to everybody later. I'm going to head upstairs, rub on a little bit of Lady Cassandra moisturizer, and sit back with a lovely bowl of Oud noodles.
This is Julie saying, hope you can fit a 16-ounce in that TARDIS refrigerator you've just plugged into your computer.
We'll see you guys next week.
I'll see.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. Tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.